Good morning. This is Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 starts out like this. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sue, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? And here Solomon is giving just giving the idea that there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time when we are in time, and there was a time when we are born, and then there's a time when we die, and then there's our life in between, and what we do with that life is what is important. Just on Sunday morning, I talked about the accident where I was involved in, where the man was killed. Just 2 days after that, there was another accident where my wife's uncle and his brother and one of his niece's daughters was killed. And so that was a strong reminder again, all in a week's time, of just the fragileness of our life, that in a moment it's over. Looking at the sermon again, the sinners in the hands of an angry God, I'm going to read a little bit more off of that. And this is specifically speaking to wicked unbelievers, but it also, in a sense, applies to believers as well, because we also have no security as far as our mortal life here for the next moment. And it's a reminder for us to make every minute count. Because we might not have tomorrow. It says here I'm quoting now, it is no security to wicked man for one moment that there is no visible means of death at hand. It is no security to a natural man that he is now in health and that he does not see which way he should now immediately go out of the world by an accident, and that there is no visible danger in any respect in his circumstances. The manifold and the continual experience of the world in all ages shows this is no evidence that a man is not on the very brink of eternity, and that the next step will not be into another world. He's saying here that we don't know, you know, even though I am sitting comfortably in my office right now, and it seems like there's nothing could happen, but we have seen people that in a moment were taken away, whether by earthquake, by fire, by whatever means it might be, even medical conditions, heart attacks, and those sort of things. So we are not guaranteed one more minute. The next step will not be in another world. The unseen, unthought of ways and means of persons going suddenly out of the world are innumerable and inconceivable. Unconverted men walk over the pit of hell on a rotten covering, and there are innumerable places in this covering so weak that they will not bear their weight. And these places are not seen. The arrows of death fly unseen at noonday. The sharpest sight cannot discern them. God has so many different unsearchable ways of taking wicked men out of the world and sending them to hell that there is nothing to make it appear that God had need to be at the expense of a miracle or go out of the ordinary course of his providence to destroy any wicked man at any moment. All the means that there are of sinners going out of the world are so in God's hands, and so universally and absolutely subject to his power and determination, that it does not depend at all the less on the mere will of God, whether sinners shall at any moment go to hell, than if means were never made use of or at all concerned in the case. So he's making the point here that it can happen at any minute without any warning. Then continuing on that thought, again quoting, all wicked men's pains and contrivance which they use to escape hell while they continue to reject Christ and so remain wicked men do not secure them from hell one moment. Almost every natural man that hears of hell flatters himself that he shall escape it. He depends upon himself for his own security. He flatters himself what he has done and in what he is now doing or what he intends to do. Everyone lays out matters in his own mind how he shall avoid damnation and flatters himself that he contrives well for himself and that his schemes will not fail. They hear indeed that there are but few saved and that the greater part of men that have died therefore are gone to hell, but each one imagines that he lays out matters better for his own escape than others have done. He does not intend to come to that place of torment. He says within in himself that he intends to take effectual care and order matters so for himself as not to fall. But the foolish children of men miserably delude themselves in their own schemes and in confidence in their own strength and wisdom, they trust in nothing but a shadow. The greater part of those who heretofore have lived under the same means of grace and are now dead are undoubtedly gone to hell, and it was not because they were not as wise as those who are now alive. It was not because they did not lay out matters as well for themselves to secure their own escape. If we could speak with them and inquire of them one by one whether they expected when alive and when they used to hear about hell ever to be the subjects of misery, we doubtless shall hear one and another reply, "No, I never intended to come here. I had laid out matters otherwise in my mind. I thought I should contrive well for myself. I thought my scheme good. I intended to take effectual care, but it came upon me unexpectedly. I did not look for it at that time, and in that manner it came as a thief. Death outwitted me. God's wrath was too quick for me. Oh, my cursed foolishness! I was flattering myself and pleasing myself with vain dreams of what I would do hereafter, and when I was saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction came upon me." And so we have this moment. We are not promised another minute. The Bible talks about redeeming the time. And it also says about redeeming the time for the days are evil. I don't have the quoted completely. Looking back to Ecclesiastes again, chapter 4, verse 1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yet better is he than both they which have not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is under the sun. Chapter 5 and verse 15. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? And I think I'm going to end there. But maybe we'll have some more thoughts for tomorrow then. I'm going to continue reading out of this sermon. And I'm going to just consider that. And again, I want to just, we are, even as believers, this is a warning of you know, making use of our life. We make ourselves believe what we want to do in certain times in our life, and we're looking forward to certain things, but we are not promised that we will ever get there. So let us make use of today while it is called the day, and be diligent, and also remember that there's lost souls around us that are just on the brink of eternity. God bless you.